Shalom, everybody. Back to Parshas here. So it is Parshas Dvarim. It is also Parshas Chazon. Parshas Dvarim is always Parshas Chazon. It's the Shabbos right before Tisha B'Av. And we're starting Sefer Dvarim. Now, Sefer Dvarim, in its nature, is very, very different than all the other books of Chumash. You will see, if you're paying attention and you're doing Shnayim Mikra, you'll see a very big difference in terms of the structure of the Psukim. You'll have a lot of very long Psukim, much longer than in other places in the Torah, like several lines in the Torah, as opposed to in the regular parshas. You'll have long pesukim in other parshas also, but in other Sfarim also, but in Dvarim it's like very common. And the words also it's a different style. The words are a little bit harder. I mean, it's really just what you're used to. So if you're used to the rest of the Chumash, so these words get harder because they're different. It's a different structure. It's a different kind of flowing of the language. And the Netziv, I believe it's the Netziv, I didn't look it up this year, but the Netziv, I'm pretty sure it's the Netziv who wrote that the reason for this is another very important difference that you'll see in Sefer Dvarim that you won't see by the other Svarim. And that is that we know the most common pasuk in the Torah. Of course, what is the most common pasuk in the Torah? Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, and in this parsha, we'll begin, one example is the very first pasuk of Perek Bet, but it also comes up before that. We'll see there's a shift. The pasuk no longer says Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. The pasuk says Vayomer Hashem el Eli lemor. Or Vayidaber Hashem Eli. Eli means to me. Hashem spoke to me, saying, or, you know, various, nuances and the differences in the text. And what is that difference? Why is the whole rest of the Torah? The whole rest of the Torah is also Moshe Rabbeinu talking. It's Moshe Rabbeinu giving the Torah, right? He gave us the Torah. He wrote the Torah. Why everywhere else in the Torah does it say Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe? Moshe is writing, but he writes about himself in third person. As opposed to in Dvarim, where again, in this week's Parsha, we are first introduced to that pasuk. We never had this pasuk before, Vayomer or Vayidaber Hashem Eli. And it's a running theme. We have it met several times in this week's Parsha, like a bunch of times in this week's Parsha. And it's going to come up again and again as we go through Sefer Dvarim. So what is that difference? The difference is, and again, because it's all Torah's Moshe. So the difference is that here it's Moshe's own voice. It's Moshe's own voice. Moshe, like it says in the Midrash, I think it's actually in the Gemara, that the klalos in Dvarim, right, later on in Parshas Kitavo, those klalos, Moshe mipiatz mo'amram, he said them himself. And it's the whole Sefer, though. The whole Sefer really is Moshe Rabbeinu's parting message to Klal Yisrael. That's what the whole Sefer is. And that's why it's a totally different tone, different language, like I said before. And you're going to also have psukim that you don't have in the rest of the Torah. You don't have psukim like this in the rest of the Torah. Ma Hashem shoel mimcha, kim liyarauto, ve'ahavta Hashem lokecha, shma Yisrael, which we had, you know, by Yaakov and his sons, but not as a command to Klal Yisrael. And many psukim like that. And the whole idea is that Moshe Rabbeinu is here talking. He is really giving his own message to Klal Yisrael. Now, obviously, Hashem approved and got in, you know what I'm saying? Like it made the cut. It's Sefer Dvarim is part of Torah. Torah's, you know, the Chamish Shemachum Shetorah, and it's not part of Nach, right? It's almost though as if we're transitioning now into Nach, because it's Moshe Rabbeinu's own personal message to Klal Yisrael, not, and again, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave his thumbs up approval on it, but that's why it's a different tone and that's why it's different language. If I'm not mistaken, then Netziv is the one who says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem gives him the command to go to Paro, he says, I'm kfat peh v'kfat lashon. I don't speak that clearly. And so part of that is the speech impediment that we know the whole story with the thing, the fire and the gold, whatever, the crown. But it's also kfat lashon, meaning that Moshe's language was difficult. It was difficult for him to formulate sentences, perhaps. I believe that's what the Netziv says, and that's why it's a little bit different, the style, again, and the language of Sefer Dvarim. Okay, so this is just a little bit of an introduction to Sefer Dvarim. Now, of course, Dvarim is also mentioned in Chazal, called in Chazal as Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah means the second Torah, so to speak. And one of the reasons for that is because Moshe Rabbeinu is going over a lot of the things that we already learned about in the Torah. For example, in our parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu goes through the whole story of the spies and the battle with Moab and Sichon and the whole deal with Reuben, Gan, Chetzi, Sheva, Menashe. And all of that has gone over again. We just did that. We did that already in the Torah, and Moshe is going over it again. And so too also with a lot of the mitzvos. Later on in the Sefer, we're going to have parshas Re'eh, Shoftim, Ki Teiseh, and all those are going to be chock full with a lot of mitzvos. And most of them were already given to us. If not all of them, were already given to us with, again, subtle nuances and the differences. But it's really like a review. Moshe Rabbeinu is here giving us the review, and it's all discussion. And then we show him why did he choose these mitzvos to go over and not those mitzvos. He doesn't go over all the 613. So that's a question, but the Maisa, that's why it's called Mishneh Torah. And okay, so that's just the general idea of Sefer Dvarim. Good to be aware of. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the fact that the Parsha is very strange. Okay, we start out, it's very disjointed. We start out, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving. Rashi explains that he's starting to give a little bit of a tochacha. Okay, Sefer Dvarim is, again, Moshe's last words to the people before he dies. And part of that is that he's going to give us rebuke. He's going to give the people rebuke about, all the times that we messed up. And we messed up plenty. And it starts out like that. And it's a veiled, it's a hidden rebuke. But then Moshe starts talking about appointing judges. And then he talks about the Chena Meraglim, that I would say is probably the biggest section of the Torah, of the Parsha. Okay, many, many psukim reviewing and going over the Chena Meraglim and the subsequent punishment and the Ma'apilim, who afterwards wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael despite being told that they weren't going to make it. And then interestingly enough, we skip 38 years and we go straight to Moab. Lechora, there were other things that happened in the Midbar during that time. There was Korach. There was, it's actually a discussion when these things happened, but there were other things that happened, Lechora, and those are all skipped. Goes into Moab. It talks about the Battle of Moab. Goes into the Battle of Sichon. Then it talks about, and finally it ends up with the deal with Reuben, Gad, and Menashe, which we mentioned before. So it's a very strange choice of the events to go over. So again, we're reviewing, right? Moshe is doing a review. Obviously, there's a need and there's a point to it, which obviously needs to be tried to ferret it out. But why choose these events? It's not it's somewhat in chronological order, but it skips stuff. Okay, for example, Chet Egel happened before Chet Meraglim, and it's completely ignored. It's completely skipped over. And again, like I said, many other things also happen that is just skipped over. So it's very strange. What's going on here? I don't know. I didn't see this anywhere. I just got the feeling that perhaps this is really all leading up to us going into Eretz Yisrael. This is Moshe's opening speech. It's his opening remarks that he's making to Klal Yisrael. And he's really trying to explain to them where they're at because he's leaving. He's going to be gone. And last time he was gone, things didn't go well. Okay. All right. I'm talking about Chet Egel. They kind of panicked and things didn't go down so smoothly. And Moshe's trying to tell them, and also there are people, we have to think about the fact that this is an entire generation, basically, that were born in the Midbar. They're born in the Midbar. Their parents died in the Midbar. They were buried in some nameless grave somewhere in the middle of the desert. And everybody that they, everybody in the generation before them. And here they are standing in there on the brink of Eretz Yisrael. It's a transitional time, obviously. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be dying. And Moshe kind of wants to bring them and show them where they're at. Like, look at the history of where we're going. But specifically, not just any history, but specifically the history of us getting to Eretz Yisrael. Because here we are, we're going into Eretz Yisrael. We're on the border. We're mamash on the border. We're about to go in. I need to leave, Moshe is saying. I've played my hand and I'm done. Moshe Yehoshua is going to take over, but this is it. Like, this is our last stop. This is our last stop before we're going into Eretz Yisrael. And he's kind of taking them through that journey. And he's telling them that, you know, first, why did we start this whole journey? We started it because of the Chedem Raglim. And why did we, and then, you know, after that point, though, after we finished with that, you know, detour or delay, whatever you want to call it, we right away started doing what we were meant to do 38 years ago. We started conquering. We conquered Moab. We conquered Sihon. We conquered Og. We even started giving out the land, right? So Moshe's kind of like giving them this hope, this like reassurance. We are in the middle of the process. It's a long process. It's been long, okay? And, you know, maybe veiled, you know, not just veiled. That's pretty explicit. There's a little bit of a tochacha there. You know, I mean, it wasn't them. It was their parents. But, you know, don't make that same mistake again, right? You know, the Chedem Raglim. But we're here, right? He's telling them, we're here. We're getting in. You guys are getting in. I'm not going to make it, but you guys are getting in. And your mamish, this is it. Like, this is like the geula. We're finally getting there. And it's just, I think it even highlights it even more, the fact that next week's parsha starts with Veschanon, which is Moshe Rabbeinu's tefila to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, begging him to go into Eretz Yisrael. In other words, he's telling the people, look, this is what happened. We went through all these things, and we're here on the brink of Eretz Yisrael. I'm not going to be able to go in, and that's next week. I'm going to tell you about how I davened for it, and I couldn't go in. But you guys are going to go. You guys are going to make it. You're going in. This is the geula. We're done. And I think that's really appropriate for Parshas Chazon, right? Parshas Chazon, you know, Rav Katz always talk about it. Maybe we'll talk more about it next week. So I'm going to skip that part. But Parshas Chazon is obviously, you know, we're at the lowest of the low right now. The only reason why, you know, there are some poskim that say that you really even shouldn't wear Big Day Shabbos. You should continue wearing your dirty clothing from the week. Not even take a shower. No meat. No meat on Shabbos, okay? Like, mamish, 9 days. Now, we don't pass in that way. Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass in that way. We don't, the Shulchan Aruch brings that down. But we don't pass in that way, and the Gro is vehemently opposed to that. And we do celebrate Shabbos as if nothing, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, we kind of, like, put it out of our minds. But the truth of the matter is that this Shabbos is the Chazon. This is when we have the vision, right? Anything that's going to happen in the week, in the coming week, it starts in Shabbos, right? It comes from Shabbos, because Shabbos is the source of everything, which means that this is really the lowest of the low, because here is when we are bringing in the koach of Tisha B'Av. This is what's going on this Shabbos. And that's like a, you know, pretty sad and low point. By the way, another connection is that the Chedem Raglim was also on Tisha B'Av. That is the night when Klal Yisrael cried for no reason, and Hashem said, you cried for no reason on Tisha B'Av, and I will koveya this day to be a day of crying for all eternity. And that's when, you know, from that moment on. But Hashem is telling us, we are on the brink, we're here, and yes, it looks dark. We are in the darkest place, and we're seeing the vision of the destruction. That's Parshas, that's the Haftorah of Chazon. But no, says Hashem, know that this is a journey. You're in the journey, and you're getting there. You're getting to the final destination, and you will make it. You will make it, Bezrat Hashem. We have to go through the crying. We have to go through the crying. The crying, guys, the crying that we're going to do on Tisha B'Av, and this week, and in Tisha B'Av, is the crying for the Beis HaMikdash. The most, I want to say, primal or basic thing that we're crying for. We're not crying for a building. The most basic component that we are crying for during this week in Tisha B'Av is closeness to God, closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because when you had the Beis HaMikdash, you were able to feel Hashem's presence. And now we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what we're crying. That's the most primal thing we're crying for. Guys, that is what tefillah is all about. That is what davening is. That's the ikar of all davening. The ikar of all davening is yearning to be able to talk to Hashem. We are doing that, right? We have to firmly believe that when we talk and we daven, we're talking to Hashem. But it's very hard. And it, the reason, one of the reasons it, is that it's very hard is because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. It's because we're in Galus, because the Shekhinah is not with us. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, there's a beautiful thing that I heard from Rav Dov Zinger this past week on Rosh Chodesh Dominating in Yeshivas in Tiv Aryeh. It was beautiful Dominating. And he gave a very short Dvar Torah afterwards. And he quoted something that I never noticed. And it says in the Shulchan Aruch, in the very first siman, Sif Beis already. Sif Beis already. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that a person should get up at Chatzos in the middle of the night because that's the best time to daven, and he should daven for the, and that's when, that's why he should daven for the Chorban then. And if you read the Shulchan Aruch carefully, it comes, it's very clear there that basically what he's saying is that when he wants to talk about davening, the thing, the most important thing, the maybe like epitome of davening is davening for the Chorban, is davening for the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. It's a fascinating thing. Take a look at it. Sif Beis in the Shulchan Aruch. Mamish has been doing it in the words there. That he's Mamish saying that the epitome of tefillah, davening really is all about davening for the Chorban. And again, it's the same idea that I was saying before. It's because our ikar in davening is to communicate with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the ikar that we're trying to do. And that's really the ikar of our whole lives. It's the ikar of our whole lives. So this time, I know that for a lot of us, it seems like the most difficult time of the year. Difficult, not in a good way. Meaning, it's okay if Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is difficult. Difficult because it's awesome, right? And you know, scary and stuff like that. And okay, that's great. But here, it's difficult in a bad way, in a negative way. Meaning that we feel disconnected, and we feel like we don't know what the Chorban is, and we feel like we don't know what we're crying for, and it's annoying, and it's just annoying, and it's sad, but it's like not sad, because why are we sad? Like, we don't even get it. I think this is the ikker. We definitely all feel this. We all know this. We all know this, that we are lacking, and we try so hard to learn a Daf Gemara, and it's so hard. And we try so hard to concentrate in davening, and we find ourselves thinking a million things, and we try so hard to guard our eyes, and we try so hard to do a million things, and it's so difficult. Why is it so difficult? Oh, the source of all that is the Galus. The source of all of that difficulty is the fact that the Shekhinah is not with us, and that we're in Galus. So, gentlemen, Dvarim, we're being reassured. We're there, and really, in our days, we can really feel it. We're mamish there. We're at the end of the journey. Last stop before the Gula, Bezrat Hashem. You have to hang in there. Recognize what we're dominating for and what we're crying for. We're crying for our lives, our whole lives, our sense of Ruchnius, and it's so difficult for us, and this is the reason. This week is the reason for that. So Bezrat Hashem, guys, you should have a great Shabbos, and be well. Miss you all. Love you all. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll be Zoche. Hopefully, we'll be Zoche. And we won't have a Tisha B'Av. We won't need a Tisha B'Av. We'll cry already before Tisha B'Av. And we'll be zocheh to bring the Gula from here. Amen.